Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 26, 2020. A paradigm shift. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, April 26, 2020. Now that governments are reopening the economy, we think that things will go back to normal. This will not happen. Even if business is open, the volume of activity will not return to what it was prior to the lockdown, since people understand that many of the things they thought they needed were actually redundant. Governments may give incentives to individuals and businesses to reignite consumerism, but many people are losing the pleasure in shopping. Now governments need to mobilize business owners whose businesses will not be sustainable after the lockdown. Instead of their businesses, governments need to occupy them in learning how to correct society and make it more connected. During the training, they will receive a livable allowance, and eventually they too will become teachers. The ultimate goal of governments should be to create sustainable societies whose people provide for everyone's staples while individuals occupy themselves mainly in strengthening social solidarity. We are moving from a paradigm of measuring success in terms of wealth, to measuring it in terms of happiness and satisfaction, and these will come from social cohesion, not from money. The faster we transition, the easier and more pleasant it will be on all of us. Medium published my new article, Baby Steps to Love. With all the talk about the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, and other relief packages in the US and other countries, you could think that the vanishing of COVID-19 is just around the corner. It is not. It will be with us for a long time coming. Temporary relief packages that are not accompanied by nationwide job restructuring programs are as good as throwing that money down the drain. Just look at what the National Institutes of Health, NIH, writes. There are hundreds of coronaviruses, most of which circulate among such animals as pigs, camels, bats and cats. Sometimes those viruses jump to humans, called a spillover event, and can cause disease. Such spillovers caused the SARS epidemic in 2002, the MERS epidemic in 2012, and now the second SARS epidemic, known as SARS-CoV-2, which causes coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19. That last one has become a pandemic, paralyzed the world, crushed the world economy, made tens of millions of people unemployed literally overnight, and is still wreaking havoc all over the world. Worse yet, we have not found a vaccine to even one of the strains of coronavirus. Yet, a vaccine isn't the only way to deal with the virus. In fact, it is the least efficient since, as it happens nearly every year with the flu, new strains of the virus are appearing all the time, and it is likely that a vaccine will not be effective against all of them. It is no accident that spillovers from animals are happening so frequently in recent years, as we have cultivated a mindset of exploitation of human resources and natural resources that has become so invasive that it is ravaging the planet and destroying society. Now it is finally backfiring against the perpetrators of these wrongs, humanity, and Western society in particular. Therefore, we need a deeper transformation. Eliminating COVID-19 is like blocking the flow of sewer out of one hole in one place only to find it is flowing out of another. We need to stop the flow altogether, the flow that is caused by our behavior. And the only way to permanently change our behavior is to change ourselves. However you look at it, the root cause will always be human behavior, and human behavior can be changed only by changing humans. As long as we continue to cultivate a culture of ruthlessness, alienation, and destructive competition, we will end up losing. We will lose to nature as we are losing now, and we will lose to our own nature as we are seeing in today's skyrocketing violence, suicide rates, and substance abuse mortality. We are competing ourselves to death, very literally. The coronavirus is a force of nature, but we can decide whether to take it toward the positive or negative direction. It has set us apart, deprived us of our favorite occupation of hurting one another. In separating us, it has shown us that our connections are the problem. If we transform our connections from abusive to supportive, we will find that we are treating not only each other in this way, but all of reality. In return, reality will transform its attitude toward us and the world will become a welcoming home once more. The hiatus from the rat race of consumerism that was destroying the world is our chance to block it before it drives us off the cliff. It is an opportunity to re-educate ourselves on life, on the things it has to offer, such as love, friendship, real, not the social media kind, and mutual responsibility. We should use this time to cultivate new jobs and occupations, ones that strengthen our society and not divide it. In today's job market, there is no justification for ruthless capitalism and senseless competition. Only those who dedicate their time to others will find success in what they do. The mind of a caring person is infinitely more open than the mind of one who sees nothing but his or her own interest. Caring for others is a chance to learn, experience what others' lives are like, feel what we did not know exist, and do it in the baby steps that the virus is allowing us to take, one video chat at a time. When we are ready for more contact, the virus will leave and let us meet in person, this time with all the good intentions. Michael Leitman, on Quora, how will the coronavirus affect the world economy? To start with, after this prolonged period of the conditions that the coronavirus has placed us into, our attitude to the world will become different and there will be major changes. We will change psychologically, and accordingly, our systems, connections and perceptions will change such that there will be no return to the pre-coronavirus world. The post-coronavirus world will be new. Our behaviors and connections will be different to what they were before the coronavirus. I think that we will have a better feel of what is and isn't essential in life, and that we will value a more internal definition of connection and closeness to each other. The extent of our psychological change will determine the extent of change in our systems, the economy included. During the coronavirus period, while we are in prolonged social distancing and stay-at-home conditions, I think that the economy should operate in an emergency-like manner, that the government provides life's essentials to every person, food, housing, water, electricity, and various municipal services per capita. I also think that our increased focus on life's essentials will see the fall of a lot of businesses that we have no real need for. The more that we endure this period, the more our awareness of what is most important in life will increase. In turn, this will calm us down from our egoistic competitive rat race that we use to run. In terms of how the world economy will actually look at the end of the coronavirus period, I don't think we can depict the changes in the meantime, because time has to play its role. We have been in these conditions for a little over a month. Let's say we will be in these conditions for another 6 months. We cannot yet imagine the changes we would have gone through at the end of such a period. Ideally, we would operate in more balance with nature, that is, with more mutual consideration and responsibility. It means acting like one big family that looks at the means it has at its disposal, and how it can best allocate what it has to every member in a mutually beneficial way. Accordingly, situations we currently see, where for instance one family member cannot afford to pay rent and another receives millions to support a personal stash of mansions and yachts, would no longer make sense to us, and we would thus find ways to iron out these situations for everyone's common benefit. Such logic is neither socialistic, capitalistic nor communistic. It is based on an understanding of nature's laws and what nature requires of us in order for us to balance with it. However, in order to reach that kind of economy, we would need to undergo a major change in our attitudes to each other, a shift in our priorities from self-benefit to benefiting others. Likewise, if we make no strides in this attitude shift, we can expect no such motions to make our economy more balanced with nature. That is why I think it is still too early to say how the economy and world will look at the end of the coronavirus period. It is like we are in a train that left its previous stop, and we're headed to the next stop, which we've never visited before. Reaching such changes requires connection-enriching learning. Connection-enriching learning aims to improve our understanding of the interdependent world we find ourselves in today, and how today's interdependence requires mutual consideration, responsibility, support and encouragement among all of us in order for us to survive and live satisfying lives. Moreover, the more unemployment increases due to many unessential businesses falling, on one hand, and also due to technological means replacing human resources, on the other hand, the more we will become ready for a different economic solution to the ones we have today. I have written extensively about my support for universal basic income as such a solution, but only on condition that a basic income is given in exchange for participating in connection-enriching learning, so that social connections become more positive and people learn how to accept, understand, and get along with everyone, as well as engage in the creation of a new atmosphere of mutual consideration, support, awareness and sensitivity. If basic income is not supplied together with such learning, then society would stagnate. Therefore, I think that the coronavirus conditions will bring us closer to such an economy, even if only by better preparing us psychologically for it. The sooner we will reach mutually considerate attitudes to each other and an economy that reflects that attitude shift, the sooner we will see less violence, crime and abuse of all kinds in society, together with increased personal and social happiness. Ultimately, it is a question of what we value. In Hebrew, the word for money, kesef, has the same linguistic root as the word for covering, kisui. Therefore, if we change the covering over our society from a consumerist value of one's self-worth that accords to the amount of wealth, status and power one has, to one where we value not individual wealth, status and power, but people's contribution to a positively connected society, then we would be on our way to a world that is more balanced with nature, and thus would experience more harmonious lives. Michael Leitman, on Quora, can something like the coronavirus be the end of the world? No. There is no end of the world. Matter continually changes and upgrades, never dying. The coronavirus, as well as other epidemics, natural disasters, and literally any form that appears negative toward us from nature, surfaces in order to ultimately bring us closer to nature. We might think that it is absurd, because how could a problem that kills and makes so many people sick bring us closer to nature? Nature is an interconnected and interdependent system that relates to all of its parts, the still, vegetative, animate and human, as a single whole. It does not relate to our physical bodies, but to what makes us human, our attitudes to each other. Letting our attitudes to each other remain egoistic and self-centered, focused only on benefiting ourselves at the expense of other people and nature, awakens a negative response from nature. Blows from nature come ultimately in order to wake us up to the need to change our egoistic attitude to an attitude that is balanced with nature. If we relate to nature's feedback, seemingly negative phenomena as the coronavirus and myriad other blows that we endure, as a complete interconnected and interdependent system wanting and trying to bring us into balance with itself, then our correct response would be to merge our attitudes to each other in order to match nature's integrality. In other words, our correct response to blows from nature, especially the coronavirus, is to seek how we can better relate to one another, in order to become more unified and reach balance with nature. Therefore, especially while we are under social distancing conditions brought upon us with the coronavirus, we would use these conditions ideally if we undertook a self-scrutiny, to reach the realization of how the coronavirus crisis came to us as a response to our imbalance with nature, and also to seek how we could use the time when we are isolated from each other in order to become more united and balanced with nature. Michael Leitman, on Quora, if the coronavirus has a 95% recovery rate, then what's with all the hype? Indeed, humanity has experienced many pandemics, but nothing has ever received such a global response as we see today with the coronavirus. The globality of the coronavirus is its uniqueness. Many millions of people die from viruses and other diseases every year. What then is the big deal with the coronavirus? I think that it is not about the health aspect of the virus as much as it is about humanity's re-evaluation of itself. We have no feeling of this re-evaluation taking place, but this is ultimately behind our reaction to this crisis. There is a new sense of globality around humanity today that has never existed before, and this is why our response to the coronavirus is particularly unique. Kabbalists over the generations have pointed to our generation as the one where we would have such a sensation, and they connect it to the entrance into a new era of human connection. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what are your thoughts about social distancing? One of my students recently asked me, in light of the social distancing conditions brought on by the coronavirus pandemic, gatherings of up to 5,000 people were initially permitted, then 2,000 people, then 500, 100, 10, and 5. The question was, why nature is doing this to us, and what will result from it? It is written, being scattered, for the wicked it is a benefit to them and to the world, but for the righteous, it is bad for them and bad for the world. Being gathered, for the wicked it is bad for them and bad for the world. But for the righteous, it is beneficial to them and beneficial to the world. Mishnah Sanhedrin, 8:5. The social distancing conditions come as benefit to the wicked. We need to understand firstly what it means that we are wicked, and then why our scattering is ultimately of benefit to us. The wickedness that the verse speaks of is embedded in our very egoistic human nature, which by default prioritizes personal benefit over benefiting others. The more we develop, the more the ego grows, and in recent times it has become bloated. Our pre-coronavirus world looked like a wild struggle for wealth, status and power, where we each tried to make our way in life by comparing ourselves with others, and always feeling deficient relative to them. Therefore, social distancing lessens our jealousy and calms down our society. While in these social distancing conditions, we have been given a chance to become worthy of regathering. That is, by developing considerate attitudes to each other, to the extent of our mutual consideration, we will become worthy of coming closer together. On the contrary, the more selfish we are toward each other, then we should detach to the extent of our selfishness. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what do you think the US should do now in response to COVID-19? Not only the US, but all countries would be wise to comprehend that humanity is headed toward more and more integration, and that they should follow suit. In order to progress toward increasing global connection harmoniously, we require regular learning that enriches our understanding of our nature-based connection beyond borders, and also that we humans are the most harmful element within nature that needs to learn how to stop causing harm, and start becoming more balanced with nature. The coronavirus social distancing conditions provide us with time for very important introspection in this direction. We can now see how the way we related to each other before the coronavirus was getting out of hand, and that, while we are in stay-at-home conditions, we can revise our connections to each other so that we come out of this period ready for more positive social relations. Therefore, education that brings us to more positive connection is what all countries would be wise to prioritize during this period in order for us to come out to a more balanced, peaceful and harmonious world. Together with connection-enriching education, countries should secure people's basic needs for food and housing. Families should be provided with the same per capita, relieving everyone of the pressure to make money. Moreover, food and housing would best be provided directly, and not by transferring monetary amounts into people's bank accounts, as it would assure that people are provided with life's essentials, and not that they would waste it on surplus. Unessential industries and finance should be paused in the meantime, that is, no transactions, and no giving or paying of loans. It should all simply freeze for the time being. By taking care of our basic needs and providing us with learning materials that aim at raising awareness of our increasingly interdependent state around the world, and how to improve our connections to each other in order to experience such a state harmoniously, then we will optimally realize the current conditions that COVID-19 has placed us into, and our exit from the pandemic would be to a much better world. Michael Leitman, on Quora, how has the coronavirus affected you? Personally, it has affected me similarly to how it has affected many people around the world, by placing me into social distancing conditions. I follow all the instructions of the Ministry of Health, and encourage everyone to do the same. One of my students asked me, why does a Kabbalist follow the government's instructions in such situations if Kabbalists are supposed to live above this world, in connection with the root of life? I observed this example in my own teacher, Kabbalist Baruch Shalom Halevi Ashlag, the Rabash. When I was with him in the Gulf War of 1991, under missile attack, I saw how strictly he adhered to the government's instructions to stay at home. In relation to following laws set by the government, there is a saying in the wisdom of Kabbalah, I dwell within my people. It means that we discover the positive unifying force of nature in the accumulation of human desires that aim at some extent of unification. In short, I follow the government's instructions, especially in such cases as wars and pandemics, and advise my students and anybody willing to listen to do the same. In addition, the coronavirus has affected my organization, the Benny Baruch Kabbalah Education and Research Institute, by placing us into a completely virtual format. We continue our daily lessons and other activities with students connected from their homes. This was no major change, since we have a system set up for virtual lessons that has been running for many years, and many students connect daily from around the world in a virtual setting, so we were well prepared for that. Other than the study, we are responding to the coronavirus by rigorously explaining how the wisdom of Kabbalah sees the coronavirus through many posts, articles, videos, and other means. Essentially, we explain how the coronavirus emerged as a response to humanity's overinflating egoistic competitive relations. The coronavirus came to save us from a worse man-made disaster that we would have brought upon ourselves if we let our exploitative relations continue growing unabated. We can expect a major long-term change in human society as a result of this period brought on by the coronavirus. One where we will calm down and become more focused on life's essentials, and less on keeping up with the Joneses. The optimal use of our current social distancing conditions is to engage in learning about how we can better understand our place in the world, where it is headed, and how we can bring ourselves into balance with nature. I thus invite anyone who wishes to connect to us, to join our lessons, links in my Quora bio, or to visit our website where we update with materials about Kabbalah's view on the coronavirus. Michael Leitman, on Quora, COVID-19, is nature fighting back? More precisely, was such an outbreak inevitable as a response to a disrupted Earth system? Due to commenting frequently on the coronavirus outbreak as nature's response to the egoistic and exploitative way we as a human society had been relating to each other leading up to the pandemic, I was asked by one of my students, how could a virus on a biological level come about as a result of people becoming increasingly egoistic and exploitative? It is clear, for instance, if one country wants to retaliate against another country that was exploiting it. But how are nature and viruses related to negative person-to-person attitudes? To the naked human eye, it indeed seems as if the biological level and the level of human relationships are separate. Everything in nature began from a single particle. That particle started connecting with another one, and then another one, and so on and so forth. At some point, this process generated atoms, and with further such development, molecules came about. Life emerged when energy and information became transmitted between the various particles. This process then further developed into more and more complex forms of life. In other words, everything in nature has been created such that even its tiniest parts are intrinsically connected with the whole universe. Within this completely integral system, the human is the most complex and qualitatively highest level of all, and human thoughts, attitudes and relationships hold the most powerful influence over nature's other levels. Due to the capacity of human thoughts to impact other levels of nature, there is a Kabbalistic saying that states, "Everything is clarified in thought." I understand that we are unable to notice the extent of our thoughts, attitudes and relationships' influence on nature, and thus when a seemingly negative phenomenon strikes us, such as the coronavirus we now endure, we look like children who point at a broken glass that they accidentally hit while playing around, saying that it fell by itself. However, the way that the coronavirus has forced us all into a common global situation, with many millions of people under stay-at-home orders, should serve to wake us up to our thoughts, attitudes and relationships to each other as being what ultimately connects us into a single network. Moreover, we would be wise to reach the conclusion that our thoughts, attitudes and relationships to each other are the most important network that determines how nature responds to us. If we create balance in such a network, we will then see how other levels of life become balanced. The gates to heaven on earth, a world of absolute perfection, will then open up before our very eyes. The Times of Israel published my new article Reopening the Economy. First, we have to change. There are debates all over the world about how and to what extent countries should reopen their economies in order to prevent a complete collapse. But opening it without first dealing with the cause of the coronavirus outbreak is likely to have horrific consequences that will dwarf the ordeal of the current pandemic. We think we are at war with nature, that we must fight against it and subdue it. We forget that we ourselves are nature's creation. Each of our thoughts, plans, words and actions is engendered in nature before it manifests in us. This is true even of the aspiration to subdue nature. But trying to conquer the very thing that planted the thought of conquering in our minds makes even less sense than chasing our own tails. Just as we don't understand why nature sends us the thoughts it does, we don't understand why it has sent us the coronavirus. Yet it, too, had a process that led to its emergence. If we want to overcome the virus, we must know where it came from and why. When we identify the process that engendered the virus, we will see what we must do in order to curb it, and why there are many more in store where that little bug came from, and far more sinister. Many scientists have already pointed to human behavior as the cause of the appearance of the virus. They explain that the destruction of natural habitats of many wild animals has forced them to migrate closer to humans. This makes what virologists call a spillover of viruses from animals to humans easier and more frequent. All the coronaviruses that caused respiratory syndromes in this century have resulted from such spillovers. SARS, MERS and COVID-19 were all caused by viruses that migrated from the animal kingdom and caused life-threatening illnesses in humans. So, too, by the way, is the case with the Ebola virus. But human behavior did not only cause spillovers of viruses. Human behavior has polluted the oceans, lakes and rivers, polluted the air and polluted the earth. It depleted the oceans of fish, the sky of birds and the earth of animals. Human behavior starves and sickens millions of men, women and children the world over, enslaves them, rapes them and exploits them in countless ways. Human behavior inflicts death and torment on millions through war, deportation and destruction of communities and entire countries. Even the affluent and fortunate are so afflicted by human behavior that they find refuge in drugs, suicide, excessive eating and depression. In short, human behavior is the cause of all that is bad and wrong in the world. Yet, what causes us to be so injurious to everything and everyone around us? And if our behavior is so fundamentally flawed, can we even mend it? And if so, where do we start? We start at home. All animals behave according to their nature. Man is a part of nature, therefore, man behaves according to human nature. If human behavior is flawed, it is because so is human nature. Hugging trees won't change human nature, but hugging people will. The change should start at home, with the people meant to be closest to us. We must use the COVID-19 hiatus from baleful capitalism to reconnect with our families, re-establish the bond that made us a family in the first place, but which so many of us have lost along the way. Afterwards, we should look at our communities and begin to reconstruct them. To paraphrase the words of JFK, ask not what your community can do for you, ask what you can do for your community. It will take mutual commitment to succeed, but if people understand the importance and urgency of rebuilding our communities, they will respond. Before we take action, we must be aware. We must let the idea of human nature being the root of all problems sink into our minds and the minds of the people in our family and community, and then pull together and change it. We can do it. All we have to do is set a good example and let others inspire us through their example. We can use the added free time we have been given to learn about human nature and then go out and do something about it with our friends and neighbors. From the community level, we must spread the spirit of friendship everywhere else. Just as singing from porches spread from Italy to porches all over the world, so can good deeds. Don't be afraid to shoot a video of yourself helping others and post it on social media. Tell the viewers that you're doing it because you want to be a better person, and the idea will catch on. It's as easy as that: I help others because it makes me a better person. That's all that people need to know. You will win people's hearts and they will want to follow in your footsteps. If we realize who we are and want to change, we only need to change our actions. This will change our mindsets, which will change our hearts. Medium published my new article, What Nature Wants From Us. It may feel like an eternity, but in a matter of a few weeks the entire world has changed dramatically, awakening existential questions and soul searching in us. What have we done for nature to unleash upon us this COVID-19 virus that has paralyzed the planet? Is there something I personally can do to end this hardship, beyond wearing a mask? Let's take a moment out of our now less busy lives to consider our situation. What we will discover is that we have been given this breather precisely for such contemplation. I live in this world and make an impact on all that happens. I influence my immediate surroundings every single moment, but I also impact the distant environment. Each of us creates changes in the entire system of nature, since the system is global, integral, and spherical. It is a system, connected in all its parts and moving toward comprehensive balance. When we disrupt its equilibrium, the imbalance manifests in all kinds of phenomena such as the current pandemic. In a sense, it could be said that everything we come up against from nature is actually the reaction of the system to our good or bad influences on it. How can I relate this to myself, sitting at home with no idea what will become of my work, my children, my future? How can my personal life sway the system? Each day that passes never returns, so before falling asleep it is worthwhile to take stock of how my day went, what I did. Did I hurt anyone? Did my actions and thoughts contribute to harmony or to the contrary? I should keep a daily accounting of my life. When, God forbid, we are hit by a serious illness or loss, thoughts and soul searching about what is happening in life come to the surface and we ask, why me? Today, this blow of the coronavirus has fallen on all of us, regardless of status, origin, or the balance in the bank, and has activated our collective soul searching. Redeeming the planet. Nature seems to be telling us now that the best thing for us is to stay at home without approaching anyone until we understand how to interact properly. We are being forced to look at the life we have built for ourselves, the kind of world we have created, the ways we relate to each other, our mutual lack of consideration, how we have destroyed the planet, in complete opposition to the integral system of nature where every part responds to the well-being of the whole, and because of such wrecking, how the Earth is responding in self-defense. Nature is demanding that humanity achieves complete integration, to feel and perceive the collective. Why? Because in such a state we become similar in form to nature itself, and this is exactly the compatibility we need in order to perfectly harmonize with the system. In fact, this is the next level in the evolution of humankind. Whether we are aware of it or not, nature will not wait for us and will force us to be considerate of one another. Everyone would have been glad to forgo this coronavirus era, but this option is not on the table. Therefore, the key question in our personal soul searching should be, do I understand that I must develop love for all within me in order to fix the global system's breakage? Without each of us developing this sense of personal responsibility and love inside, it is impossible to start to care properly for each and every one and attain the collective cohesion we need. Obviously, each of us personally cannot love 8 billion people, the entire world's population, or even the inhabitants of our own country. Sometimes, we can hardly get along with our own family members. That is clear, natural and understandable, but it doesn't mean that I can't request it. Each of us needs to request to be given the power of love. From whom? From nature, the supreme power that unites all of reality into one. And why are things organized in such a way? In order for us to address this supreme power consciously, learn to know it, to exert our free will and demand to be connected as one bundle, with mutual love. Then we will attain complete harmony with nature. Joy is the light. Question: is the joy that comes from serving others the light that you speak of? Answer: yes, this is the light. However, it is not the one we feel now. Only when we gain the ability to serve others, to reveal ourselves to them, to give, to influence them, then the upper light will pass through us to others. This is not a feeling of joy and support that we experience now, it is much higher, it is the revelation of the Creator affecting others through us. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 1, 2020. What does the Creator want from man? Comment: we turn to the Creator all the time. It is said that he reacts even to our egoistic desires. Answer: the entire system of the universe is built in a way that you do not have any connection whatsoever with anyone but the upper force that surrounds, bathes, and fills everything up. That is why any of your aspirations and hopes are still directed at it. But prayer is your individual tuning to a personal relationship with him. Question: there are 8 billion people on Earth and everyone wants something. Some lack clothes or food, others health, some want money, and still others, knowledge. And everyone turns to that force at a given moment even unknowingly. Is this also called a prayer? Answer: of course. All the created beings, including plants, little bugs, animals, it does not matter what and who, have an absolute connection with the Creator, let alone human beings. But we are expected to reach a conscious connection with the Creator. He desires that we establish a conscious relationship with him. Question: but essentially, he senses all our desires, doesn't he? Answer: we all exist within him, completely attached to him. All our feelings, desires, everything that we do, everything that happens, all of it is within him. We are within him. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 1, 2020. toward goodness and warmth. Question. According to the sources, upon attainment, a Kabbalist places himself under the influence of the light. I think that I have had such initial attainment in my life. But I received such a blow of energy that I could not even remember myself. It was physically very painful. Do such exceptional states come in order to awaken me? Answer, no, this has nothing to do with spirituality. Spiritual attainments are absolutely good and colorful. The light that fills us is soft and warm. It is not what you are depicting. But your attainments nevertheless lead you toward goodness and warmth. So carry on. From Kab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 12, 2020. New Life 1216. Coronavirus, Nature, and Humanity.
Hello, thank you for joining us. We are here with New Life, a series of programs with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Eichmann. Hello, Rav Eichmann. Hello, everyone. Number is 1216, and I came to Dr. Eichmann with questions that have been coming up at home. We're in closure and isolation. We have discussions, feelings, and conversations. I'm going to share this with Dr. Eichmann, and it's going to be fascinating. Join us. Listen, we had a discussion. We were trying to understand this whole thing with the corona and this very complex reality we're in. There are those who say at home, I won't even say who says what, it's not important. I'll just present the different opinions and I want to hear your opinion. There are those who say at home from our family members that because people are bad, God sent us a punishment, the corona. There are those who say, not true. It's because people destroyed Earth, nature is giving us this blow of corona. And there are those who say, and I personally come closer to their opinion, is that also these talks about the punishment from God and also that Earth is punishing us because we destroyed it cannot be, because when something happens and you suffer from it, like we're really suffering from this corona, you can't relate to life, to nature, to the world, as someone who feels you and gives you feedback for what you're going through and all of your psychological processes with yourself. When there's a plague, what you need to do, we've always had plagues, is to concentrate on what we can do, is give it the proper response. The fact that people have to be better people, it's for sure. The fact that people have to not destroy Earth, that's for sure also. But there's no connection and there's no feedback from the system towards us, according to the religious system that says that God's punishing us, or the ecological thing that's saying that nature's, that there's no feedback there. I wanted to understand how you see things. I don't understand the difference whether nature punishes man or God punishes man. What's the difference? I think both those approaches are wrong, because it can't be that nature or God would be whatever you call it, feels what a person does with all due respect to the person, what he does. I don't believe that there's some bigger force than us that notices what we're doing and then gives us a blow of corona. That seems childish, this explanation. Why not? I'm working with a certain system, and if I influence this system, let's say in the wrong way, in a bad way, it responds to me accordingly, and then I feel it responding, and then I relate to it like to the source of the response. I drive with my car. I have a Mobilite. It's a little component that has an electronic eye. It when it sees that I'm getting closer to something, it beeps. It alerts me that I'm getting close. I understand that I'm doing something specific. The system notices this by these sensors and gives me feedback. Yes? How is that connected with people behaving in one way or another? Connect millions of those Mobilites that you're talking about, and you'll receive the general nature. Meaning, according to your perception, why is Corona coming to us? It's the natural response. Of who? Of nature. Response to what? To us going wild, behaving badly. How does nature know that we're behaving crazily? There's a program in nature. Nature has rules, laws. What's the law that's in nature, the program? To develop each and every part of it, all the way to the good state. Is that the program of evolution? Yes, evolution. And what is until the good state? That all the parts of nature will enter into a connection between them, into balance between them, such that they will all be according to the laws of physics that you learned at school, that all of nature is drawn towards balance. Nature is drawn to rest, to total rest. Okay, so that's the program. Yes. So let's say I'm a person, I'm humanity, in the year 2020, and we're operating one way or another, between us and the interactions between people, countries, nations, between us and the ecological system which we live in. How does the system that you're calling nature feel? How does it feel or not feel? How does it grasp what we're doing and responds or doesn't respond? It seems a little childish to think that nature's sitting like some judge in the courthouse with a notebook and says, Owen is behaving today not nicely, or the state of Israel behaves today not nicely. It's going a little rampant, or, you know, they're filthing, there's too much filth in earth, so I'm going to give them a little slap. It seems a little childish, no? No, you can do that with every single system. How do you? You know the programs in your computer. They're also like that. If you do this, this will happen. If you do that, that will happen. It's like that. It's called an algorithm, because there's computers. In computers, it's called an algorithm. There's a program that defines if, then. Yes, when you write, or that it's already in nature that way. So there's a program like that in nature? That's the question. Of course. Wait a minute. If we're talking about billions of years, this universe exists and is developing according to absolute laws that we don't recognize at this point. So why are you saying that it's not laws that are described in such a way like nature? How could you say that? After all, you're a part of nature, and you don't even know where you exist, what you exist for what. You're just discovering somewhat what's besides you, and you're already, you're like a little baby in the crib, and you know a little bit about what's around you, and that's it. But what's outside of the crib, in the room, at the home, in the world, you don't know anything. So how, well, at least, don't make conclusions of such that will deviate you and make your life very bad, very horrible. The fact that life has become horrible, there's no doubt. I think we couldn't imagine such a bad life that this corona has put us into. The corona didn't do this. You did this. What do you mean me? You, people, you are not paying attention to the system you exist in. And you're destroying everything. You, as a person, are destroying everything. We were given a nice world, and look what you're doing with it. Look now, when the corona stops you from using your wild forces in nature, the air is cleaner. So you sustain the opinion of the ecological, of all the green organizations? No. I hold that as each person needs to know where he is and how these laws are operating around him and how it burdens him and how good it is for him to be in this life upon earth in a directed manner with nature, as he's part of nature integrally. And this is how one advances. But it's not that when we're destroying everything, look at what we've done. You don't have a place in the ocean that doesn't have, it's not stuffed with plastic. You don't have a place, a molecule of air that's clean. You don't have, enter the jungle or the Amazons and you'll see everywhere man has destroyed nature. So I understood you. You said that man destroyed nature and therefore it's punishing him. No, then what? It's a natural response. It's not a punishment. I'm not saying that nature has some brain and it's saying, oh, I... No, we, who also work without a brain, according to our evil inclination, our egoistic inclination, we operate upon nature in such a way, and that's how nature operates in return to us. I want to understand, with us destroying Earth, and it's not good, that's clear, you don't need to convince me. That's pretty understood. My question is a little different. Let's put Earth on the side. I want to talk about people. People, nations, countries. The fact that in our world right now, there's a lot of ego that numbs out many systems and countries. Also here in Israel, we see the fact that there's a lot, or at least there were before Corona, lots of distances between countries economically, as far as trade and industry. We were close to getting to a world war. Say thank you to Corona. Right. Now tell me, the relations between people, this rampant behavior that you talked about before, I want to talk about the human behavior between man and man. Is the fact that people behave not nicely to one another, does that also have anything to do with this system of nature and all of those sensors and evolution and the laws that she's advancing? Is there a connection between the relations of people to people and the system of nature? And if so, what is the connection? I think there is a connection. It's the same forces. There's forces on a mechanical level, electronically, electromagnetic, and all those forces that are more higher that operate between biological bodies, let's say, that virus which exists between them. There are forces that operate in thought. There are those that operate in desire. There are people who feel thoughts of one another. There are people who feel the desires of one another. These are forces altogether, only more precise, delicate. Is there an influence of the thought of people on the system of nature? Of course, we are all in the system of nature. What is the influence and is there feedback? Of course there is, just like with all the other laws. When I press something, I receive a response. When I give a blow against something, I receive a response. When I relate to it nicely, I receive a response. Think, right or wrong. Accordingly, I also get a response. We are in a big ball, a globe, altogether, which is called reality. And in accordance with the extent in which we operate upon it, with our forces, accordingly, we receive a response. So you said, man does a certain action, he thinks a certain thought, he relates to a certain thing in a certain way, and all those levels, his action has influence on this system of nature, and as a result, also, there's a response. Every cause has a response. The system of nature wants to sustain itself in balance. Now my question is about the balance. You said people are going wild and they're destroying Earth altogether, and as a result of that, there's a systemic response in the form of Corona now. I want to scrutinize this. Let's say tomorrow, all the people in the world, all the nations decide, we went in the wrong way, we destroyed Earth, we destroyed the whole ecological environment, we received this feedback in return, we got the message, from now on, we will stop polluting, we'll stop destroying Earth, we'll try to be as green as possible. Will that assure, by your perception, that more blows from nature won't come like Corona or another microbe? Yes, but that's not enough that we don't destroy nature. What else is needed of us? We also need to be in harmony between us in our thoughts and desires. What is that harmony in desires and thoughts? Not to harm one another, both in thought and desire. How is that connected to preventing additional epidemics, because we're all connected between us on levels of forces of the level of still, physics, and then biologically, biology, and people, and all the way to the top of thought and desire. Now tell me. I'll tell you what I understood, and you tell me if my perception is mystical, or delusional, or is it really... I understand this way. Here's the thing. If people will start to not harm one another, both in action, and in thought, and in the desires, meaning that they truly clean all the evil, the bad that floods the world from all the systems of relations from between people, between nations, between states. Let's say that's possible. I'm going to flow with you. Let's say that can happen. Even 1 ounce of it, as a result of it, we will receive from the system of nature a positive response. Is that what you said? Yes. That sounds a little mystical, or maybe very mystical. Why? Why? I'll say why. Rav says, no, I define that this is scientific and 100% correct. He told me, make a change in your head and here in your heart. I decided that I relate to something. I can relate. You know what? I don't know. If you came from some jungle and I put an electric bulb on next to you, you're going to go, like you're going to try to turn it off, right? Yes, and that bulb will appear to you like something that's above nature, correct? Above your understanding, right? So don't say that it's mystical. It's above your perception, above my perception completely. This is what I want to understand. This above my perception, I want you to explain it to me. Even before you explain, I want to understand that I'm scrutinizing the exact question. I want to understand what exactly appears mystical and misunderstood, and tell me why it's scientific. The thoughts of people, or the changes in the thoughts of people, or the changes in the relations between people, and your perception will bring a positive feedback from nature, or negative. Meaning if they're negative, meaning negative you defined as they're harmful to one another. Positive, I assume that it's opposite, they're benefiting one another. Okay? So I just want to understand. Let's say, thus far, I thought negative thoughts about other people, other nations, other states. And now let's say, Rav Lightman says, listen, if you will improve your thoughts and your desires towards other people, you'll get a positive response. Let's say I make such a change. Where will that occur? In my head, in my heart, right? Not only. Maybe it will also be expressed. Yes. Okay, but how will this system that you're calling it nature, how will it feel that my thoughts changed? It's something internal in me. Because you're in nature. My thoughts are inside nature? Yes. What is it doing? A CAT scan on me? What? Yes, it's like a CAT scan. You are inside of a system, you're connected to it, and you can't come out of it. And therefore, all the thoughts in your mind, all the desires that we feel in our hearts, let's say that's not heart, but that's how we call it, the mind and the heart. All the desires and thoughts of a person influence. They influence nature, this general field. And this is how we influence one another. All the billions of people. I don't understand how people... If you don't think this way, then you're similar to that person who comes from the jungle and is going, phew, on a light bulb. I don't understand how people who have a scientific approach to life can connect to this message that you're giving. What do you mean? Go and ask scientists. I will give you the address of scientists that I know where I was in St. Petersburg. It used to be Leningrad. Go to St. Petersburg in Russia, yes? Go to the Brain Institute. That's it. What do you mean? Also, when I studied there as a student, in my initial profession, which is biological cybernetics, medical biological cybernetics, and I did that, and then I did a diploma in philosophy. There's no doubt that the brain study is very advanced today. They're saying that it influences. That's what I want to clarify. Beyond that, they're saying that our whole brain is not inside the brain here, inside the skull and the box. It's around. Wait, don't run. That's the point I want to discriminate. The desires that we have are not inside us, but they are around a person. Truly. Do you understand? This is what scientists say. The wisdom of Kabbalah has talked about this thousands of years ago. So I wanted to clarify this point. My niece studied brain studies, and now she's a doctor. So she was studying neurological and brain studies, and she finished all that. That's what she's dealing in. And when I talk to her, she says about one very precise point. That the thoughts of people have forces, it's clear. Let's put that on the side. She asked me this question. How can you claim scientifically that the thoughts of a person, which is on the human level, cause changes on a biological level in nature, like this virus now, or let's say in some antivirus that could be, what's the connection between the level of the thought of a person? I understand that my thought can influence you as a person. How do the particles on a biological level, which is a different level in nature, how are they influenced by this? What is there in this? There's no connection between those levels. There is a connection between the levels. The fact that they haven't discovered it yet, let them wait 200 years and they'll discover it too. The connection between the levels? Of course. Is that what the wisdom of Kabbalah claims? That there is a connection between the different levels? Still, vegetative, animal, and living, all those levels of nature are connected to one another, influence one another in a mutual manner. Only that there's... How should we say? Only that there is a different intensity, because the higher... The more exalted a level, it has a greater power to influence the lower degrees. The lower levels. Of course. This is a little unclear, the connection between all those. I'm sorry, I don't understand. If I take a magnet and I start to move it next to an electric wire, and inside the electric wire there's all of a sudden electricity, and a light bulb gets on, so you say, wait a minute, I'm going crazy. He's doing something with a magnet next to some wire, and all of a sudden I have a light bulb that's lit, but it's all on the same level. That's fine. Every action is influencing its same level. It's a different level here. No, you have a magnetic force. You have a magnetic field. You have a wire that is a physical wire. You have electricity, which is electrons, and then you have something that's lit. But it's not all on the same level, on the physical level, on the inanimate level, on the skill level. That's okay. So there's laws that we don't understand in electricity. We discovered them. That's okay. How do you take between those levels? You're saying, no, if you improve your thoughts and your relations to others, it's not just that you will live in a society that will be nicer and more correct. We can understand that because it's on the same level. You're saying, no, even from from the vegetative, from the animal, you'll see a feedback. How did you come out of the level of people to the other levels? That's the question. I don't know what to answer you, except for one thing. What? Wait a few more years. You said 200 years. Yes. In 200 years, science will discover the connection between levels. I think within a few years. The wisdom of Kabbalah, in your words, discovered this connection long ago? Thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. Is this something you can explain rationally? No. Therefore, no, because you are not in the connection between those levels, so I can explain it to you. I didn't understand that sentence. Because you're not on those levels of your thought being a force, and that it can influence the degrees of still, vegetative, and animal. You know what? I'll ask you this way. If, let's flow for a second with this explanation of yours, with this claim of yours that says that if people go crazy, and they have bad relations with one another, they get a negative response from the system of nature, and therefore, even if they improve this, they'll get probably a positive response. That's the perception? Well, let's say so. Let's say that in simplicity. Now I'm going with you a step forward. Let's say today, people really, really want this craziness of this corona will end, and they want to leave home. This force of the desire of the ego is huge. Billions are sitting at home. They just want this nightmare to end. If there's an influence between the levels, why does the big force of the desire of people for this to end doesn't operate on nature and make it end? Because they don't want to be good. They want the blow to end. But not for them to be good. Corona did do its work yet. What's the work of the corona? To teach people to be good. It's like a mother, let's say, gives a beating to her wild kids, and she wants them to stop beating them, and she wants them to behave, and to be stop behaving badly. So the goal of the mother and the goal of the children is not the same goal. What do you want? It turns out that the explanation that you're giving, either I don't grasp it, is it has elements that are religious, mystical, and ecological. You can divide it however you want. For me, it's all one system. I didn't understand. For me, there's no difference. Religious, secular, scientific, human, it doesn't matter. I live in a system. And this system for me is one system. And it demands of us to be adapted to it, so that we will be integral to it, so that we will be connected like the connection of an integral system. And we're destroying Earth, that's not integral. And we're doing bad to each other, that's not integral. And such a response comes, whether it's through viruses or fires or a tsunami or earthquakes or all kinds of things, either on a human level where all of a sudden we are before a world war, a nuclear world war. They've been talking about this. Well, so that's how the system responds. You can't make of it what you want to make of it, but you have to learn these systems, the laws, these integral laws, and understand what leads you to a good life. And if not, the system will bend you, because the force of protection in the system will always succeed. Look, Dr. Magdaleitman, sadly, in a minute our program will be over. I want to ask you the last question, a practical question. I'll bring you back to the distress that we're feeling at home. We're at home closed up for several weeks. We're not leaving our homes, and it's very difficult. How can a family in Israel or any place in the world that's sitting closed up in their home like this pressure cooker, how can it contribute somewhat to this positive development? What thoughts, what desires, what relations do they need or can they generate between them so that it will somewhat improve the situation? Your entire lives were horrible. You caused nature on all of its levels of still vegetative animal and mostly people to reach a state in which it has no choice. Nature has no point, but it's already expelling such microbes. And these microbes eventually come to arrange your life, the new life that you should have. Therefore, distance from one another, enter into your rooms, close yourselves up there, because only in such a way you can not harm the still the vegetative and animal and not harm people. You deserve to sit that way in prison and sit like that until the rest of your life, until you get the correct thoughts, the correct feelings of how we need to relate nicely to the still, to the vegetative, to the animal, and mostly to people. What kind of life do we need to build here upon this land, on this small, poor earth, that we shouldn't think according to our corrupted, egoistic intellect, but rather really think about our home together. Now the coronavirus, which is surrounding the world, is explaining to us that we are all in one home, as one family. And we have no choice but relate to ourselves in such a way and to the place that we live in. Amen. Thank you very much, Rav Leitman. Thank you too for being with us. Till next time, all the best to you. A new life, come again. So long.
From Babylon to Rome, Part 6. Turning Kabbalah into Philosophy. Comment: German humanist Johann Reuchlin, in his book On the Art of Kabbalah, writes, "Nevertheless, the superiority of Pythagoras did not come from the Greeks, but again from the Jews. After long wanderings, he brought home something worthy of admiration, and was the first to rename Kabbalah into philosophy, a Greek word previously unknown. There are many facts that confirm that the ancient Greeks learned from the sages of the first and second temples. You can tell that the philosophies of Plato and Aristotle are permeated with their ideas." My response: Greek scholars did not hide it. Communication was quite easy in those days. Today, there are many civilizational barriers. Although there seems to be a connection between modern universities, nevertheless, internal egoism repels one scientist from another. In ancient times, learning from each other was generally accepted. Therefore, many philosophers and scientists learned from the Jews during the time of the prophets, meaning in the time of the first temple. Comment: the rabbi of Sochaux wrote, "The Greek science of philosophy, derived from the writings of King Solomon, emerged after the destruction of the first temple. However, these writings were corrupted with additions, omissions and replacements to such an extent that false knowledge got mixed into it. But, one way or another, the basis of the science is good, although parts of evil got mixed in with it." The modern-day Kabbalist of the 20th century Balhaas Sulam similarly writes, "Sages of Kabbalah observe philosophical theology and complain that they have stolen the upper shell from their wisdom, which Plato and his Greek predecessors had acquired while studying with the disciples of the prophets in Israel. They have stolen basic elements from the wisdom of Israel and wore a cloak that is not their own." My response: the truth is that the ancient Greeks acquired the general approach to cosmology from Kabbalah and proceeded to derive their own conclusions from it. From CabTV's Systematic Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, Part 6, July 8, 2019.